Eternal Father, Creator, Redeemer, Boy of Bethlehem and Carpenter of Nazareth, Conqueror on Olivet, Sacrifice of Calvary, grant to us the power, the insight, the willingness, so to comport ourselves day by day that we may grow safe enough to save in thy kingdom. Bless our meditation to this ultimate goal, we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As you have concluded, our topic of consideration today is the Sabbath. I hope you have your Bibles and will rapidly follow me from passage to passage. Well-known, eternal, unchangeable, divine declarations of unshakable truth. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his works which God created and made. This is the origin of the Sabbath. There were two human beings in existence. This was their first full day of life. In company with their Creator, Adam and Eve observed the first Sabbath. This fact is unchangeable, is undebatable, is unshakable to anyone who accepts the Bible. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Jesus Christ is here embedding, as he previously did by example, the observance of the Sabbath into his law. Now, immediately, there are some of you who heard that sentence say, I thought that was God the Father and not Jesus Christ. Would you turn to the second last chapter of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18, starts with a negative. Hebrews 12, 18. Ye are not come to the mount, which is Sinai. Notice verse 21, Moses. Verse 22, but ye are come to Mount Zion. You are not come to Sinai. That took place 1600 years before this was written. But you are come to Mount Zion. Verse 24, to Jesus. To Jesus. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth? See, you're not come to Mount Sinai, but to Jesus, whose voice then shook the earth. Jesus Christ was the speaker of the Decalogue on Mount Sinai. Jesus Christ was the maker of the Sabbath in the Garden of Eden. Mark chapter 2. Mark 2 and the last two verses, 27 and 28. The Sabbath was made for man. Hold your finger there. Let's get the answer of who made the Sabbath. John chapter 1. Verse 3, all things were made by him. Then the negative, without him was not anything made that was made. The Sabbath was made, all things were made by Jesus, therefore Jesus made the Sabbath. Perfectly simple. Jesus spoke the Sabbath on Mount Sinai in the fourth commandment. Jesus made the Sabbath at Eden. Mark 2, verse 28. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Why the also? Because he is my Lord. We speak of him as our Lord. He is Lord also of the Sabbath. Deuteronomy chapter 5. If we could look at a few of these passages, I will gather together the threads of idea that I wish to weave into the tapestry that I am seeking to weave. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12. Keep the Sabbath to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do thy work, all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Now I want to call attention just swiftly to verse 15. This is taken by some superficial readers as being another reason for the observance of the Sabbath. It's nothing of the kind. What Moses is reminding Israel here is that remember that even though you were slaves in Egypt, the Lord God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. The fact that they were slaves in Egypt was no reason why the Sabbath was given. But that they were to keep the Sabbath in spite of the fact that the taskmasters were pressing them. The only reason for keeping the Sabbath is that it is a memorial of creation and God so commanded it to be observed. The Sabbath is a memorial of creation and nothing else. It's a memorial of nothing. It's typical of nothing. Any more than my birthday is typical of anything. My birthday celebrates the day I came into existence. The Sabbath day, made by Jesus Christ, kept by Jesus Christ, commanded by Jesus Christ, codified by Jesus Christ, the day of which he is the Lord, Moses says, had to be kept in spite of the hard taskmasters in Egypt. In Revelation 1:10, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Lord's Day, two words in Greek, Kyriake Hemera. They are often, often used. There is a considerable literature on Kyriake Hemera, 99% of which is written with vested interest. Now this term, Kyriake Hemera, was applied to Sunday from the 3rd and 4th centuries. There's no question about that. Many, many times. Not every time, many times. Kyriake Hemera came to be applied to Sunday. Nobody debates that who has read the literature. That Kyriake Hemera was Sunday in Revelation 1:10 has got to be established. See, Revelation was written 81 A.D. Revelation was written 81 A.D. Sometime if you want some footnotes, they're available. In 81 A.D., John says, I was in the Spirit on Kyriake Hemera. What day is that? I was reading this week in anticipation of this discussion this morning. The scholars are not certain. The honest scholars are not certain. Some, like Doug Moore, my quondam major professor in the University of London, maintains that Easter Sunday, compared with Sebaste or Dominica or the Latin names, Greek names that were applied to famous emperor days. And he suggests that this applied to Easter Sunday or Easter Day. Now, in 81, Easter Day was not a Sunday. Easter Day was the 16th of Nisan, and it traveled through the week, like the 25th of December travels through the week, and like your birthday travels through the week. But by some legislation, Good Friday and Easter Sunday have been pegged to a Friday and a Sunday. It took 500 years to achieve this. Long, long after this Kyriake Hemera in Revelation 1:10. Centuries after it. Very, very highly complex change. Triggered mainly through anti-Semitism. Good Friday, Easter Sunday was never to fall on the Passover. So said the bishops of the West. And after centuries of dickering, they finally hit upon the formula. The Good Friday and Easter Sunday fell on the first Friday and the first Sunday following the first full moon following the vernal equinox. So just figure out that mouthful and you know exactly when the Good Fridays and Sundays are coming for the next number of years. The earliest definition is of Kyriake Hemera that I have been able to find is in a second century apocryphal epistle of John, Peter, Andrew, in which Kyriake Hemera is said to be the seventh day. The earliest definition of Kyriake Hemera that I have ever encountered, this too is unshakable. You can't do anything with these manuscripts. That's the fun of dealing with sources. Once they are there, there is no debate. You read it and see it. The only thing you can do is to avoid it. That's all. And I just bought, a week or so ago, the latest book on the Sabbath Sunday discussion. Translation from a German work, must have 400 pages. It's supposed to be an exhaustive study, and it does not contain this reference. Now, I don't want to be too judgmental, But a fellow with that kind of scholarship, if he's not aware of that, he ought to go back to school. We may as well face the facts and realities of life when we're trying to deal with something that is scholarly. And if we're going to write a book, let the book contain all the evidence. So what do we see so far? We see the Sabbath made by Jesus Christ. Everything that was made by him, and the Sabbath was made for man. It was made for man, not for the Jews, not for the Seventh-day Adventists, not for an age, but it was made for man. Anthropos was made for man. It was made by Jesus Christ for man, given to Adam and Eve, mankind. It was observed by the patriarchs. It was codified on Sinai and spoken by Jesus Christ. It was reiterated by Moses 40 years later than Sinai, with the underlining thought that if God wanted the children of Israel to observe the Sabbath in Egyptian bondage, how much more would he require them to observe it now that they were free? John, in the last reference to this point, my holy day, Isaiah 58:12, my holy day, calls it the Lord's Day, Kyriake Hemera, and the earliest patristic writing defines Kyriake Hemera as the seventh day. Now, what is to be done on this seventh day? Leviticus 23:32, it is to be commenced on Friday sunset and ended Saturday sunset. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it is a day of assembly, as it is in Leviticus 23:1-4. That's why we are here today. It's from this Hebrew rule that the Christian church, even when they moved from Saturday to Sunday in the 4th century and 5th century and 6th centuries A.D., took with them many of the customs of the synagogue. Again, if I may quote C.W. Dugmore, he's written a book, The Influence of the Synagogue on the Divine Office, on all the ceremonial that is carried out. Now, we read a scripture lesson. Jesus read a scripture lesson in Luke 4 when he went into the synagogue. We don't do what the Jews did. They had a triennial scripture reading. In 3 years in the synagogue, on the Sabbath day, you read the whole Old Testament. And Jesus knew the place, and he found the place, and it happened to be there in Isaiah, and he preached his sermon on it. In 3 years, in 156 Sabbaths, they read the whole Old Testament through in the synagogue. Now, we don't follow that. Our attention span is much less because of television than it was in the ancient synagogue. But they did. They assembled themselves together, and they read the whole Bible through in 3 years. They prayed. Their special Sabbath prayers. The choirs sang special Sabbath anthems, several of which David composed, not only the words, but also the music. Music, incidentally, is lost. I wish we could find it and get the sound that they had in the 10th century B.C. On the Sabbath day, no work was to be done. Notice it was manservant, maidservant, ox, ass, cattle. Ox, ass, cattle were their farm implements that could be hired out to the stranger. It must not be hired out on the Sabbath. A manservant or the maidservant were the men that were employed. They were not to be employed on the Sabbath. Thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, the family. The family, the employees, the equipment, nothing of it was to be used for work on the Sabbath day. In Nehemiah, sometime you ought to do what I have done many times, Take your concordance and go through every passage in the Bible that deals with the Sabbath. Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 15 through 20. No food must be bought or sold on the Sabbath. No food, no restaurant going, no food on the Sabbath day. This is what the Bible teaches. Exodus chapter 16. Verse 23. This is what the Lord said. Tomorrow is the rest of the Holy Sabbath. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil. That which remaineth over, lay up for you to keep until the morning. Yesterday afternoon, my wife was busy getting the food ready for the Sabbath day. The Friday is called the day of preparation. Luke chapter 23. Verse 54. The day Jesus Christ died, that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. Jesus is dead. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre and how the body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. This is after Calvary. There are some people who mistakenly maintain that the Sabbath was done away with on Calvary. But the pious disciples rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment after Calvary. That was the day they kept. That was the Lord's day. That was the day the Lord himself called my holy day. That was the day of which Jesus Christ was the Lord, the one that he had made. There is an interesting sentence from Desire of Ages, page 207, that I would submit for your prayerful meditation. Toil that gains a livelihood must cease. Now that, of course, is a paraphrase of the fourth commandment. But let's think about it. Toil that gains a livelihood must cease. Now there are shifts in certain professions that cross over onto the Sabbath day. It is to these shifts that this rubric applies. The toil that gains a livelihood must cease. What happens then if you take a shift that you feel compelled to work on? The money you get, you can't use for your livelihood. It doesn't belong to you. Meditate on this. At this juncture, if life is true, if my understanding of humanity is true, there is a certain measure of hostility in some minds to the idea I am presenting. I have met that hostility before, and I will meet it many times if I'm alive after today. The hostility doesn't affect me. It affects the person in whose mind that hostility rises. See, the ideas that I'm presenting are not my own. They're ideas by which I seek to live. They were invented long before I came on the scene of action. They will be in existence long after I die. They're God's concepts, not mine. Don't fight the messenger for the message. Think of the message. If what I'm saying is correct, and I firmly believe it is, and you don't fit in with this divine revelation, what is your standing before heaven? That you must decide. And you decide it. I don't know who you are. If your heart says, Lord, I am so grateful that you have taken me aside from the rough and tumble of life and made me aware of these concepts. Thank you for telling me. Thank you for showing me when the Sabbath begins and ends. Thank you for telling me how to keep it. It's your day. It's part of your commandment. And the wages of sin is death. Thank you. But if you fight it at every point, then let this be to you an insight into your status, into your relationship with God, into His lordship of your life. And remember, not only is the Son of Man Lord of the Sabbath day, but He's Lord of you too. He's Lord also of the Sabbath. If He's your Lord, He calls the shots. He gives you the directive. You don't have to accept them. This is the freedom of choice. But you face the consequences. And in order to demonstrate those consequences, Jesus Christ went to Calvary, because the law cannot be changed. If the law could have been changed, Calvary is unnecessary. Jesus Christ didn't have to die. That the wages of sin is death is guaranteed by Calvary. That the law of God cannot be changed is validated by everything that happened in Passion Week. No other way. But the death of Jesus Christ could accomplish the divine purposes. The law cannot be changed. The Sabbath cannot be changed. The Sabbath still begins on Friday night, still ends on Saturday evening, still requires that no work be done. What should be done? As soon as the Sabbath comes, be ready. My earliest memory of the Sabbath is of floor polish and baking. 7 years old, I thought back this week as far as I could push my memory. The warmth of the baking, of the food, of a polished house, of quiet, of readiness. Friday evening, meet to study. Church will have all the meetings you can. Spend an hour. Go to bed early. Get up early Sabbath morning. Have a special breakfast. Quietly, at leisure, bring the children to Sabbath school. There are children that are brought into this church at 11:10. What sort of example is that to them? You must decide. You must decide. Bring them to Sabbath school. Encourage them to study, to be ready. Enjoy it. Meet with your friends. 12:30, 12:45, you'll be home. If you don't have fellowship dinner with us here. And by 2 o'clock, the Sabbath dinner is finished. Then comes the problem hour. What are you going to do from 2 for the rest of the day? This is no laughing matter. This is where the tragedy of breakdown occurs. This is no joke. I meet this every week. What do you do for the next 3 hours? There were 3 hours in Gethsemane and the disciples didn't have the attention span to watch. Their descendants are still alive. What do? If you want to study the Bible an hour, study it. Take your children into some place where God created and you can look away from bricks and mortar and cement and plaster. Look at the flowers and listen to the birds. Read about them. Think about them. Slow down in their presence. Remember your Creator. Walk. Hike. So that you can get as near to God and near to His thinking and away from the things of life and away from your business as possible. And let the sweet solemnity of heaven flow into your soul. Make the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable. And then you're in time for supper. If you have supper on Sabbath, make it a light, special Sabbath meal. If you've got children, have special games for the Sabbath that are Sabbath. Have special clothes for yourself and the children on the Sabbath. have special friends with whom you can keep the Sabbath, and you will soon discover those with whom you cannot, don't invite them to your house on the Sabbath. Leave that for the week. Make the Sabbath a delight. The holy of the Lord, honorable. Honor him who made it, and he will honor you in that land where every seventh day the redeemed will go up to Jerusalem to see the Savior who designed and made the Sabbath, who designed and made them, who recreated them. And for all eternity, for the billions of unending eons, we will be keeping the Sabbath. We may as well get ready today. We'll keep it in company with Jesus. We may as well be happy with him today. Amen. It's his day. It's his time. It's his company. It's his society we join in. It's his friends we meet together. It's him we worship. Let's pray. Eternal Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for its teaching, cleaving, penetrating, dividing, clear thinking presentation. Bless each of us, Lord, here in thy presence. Grant to us willingness and obedience and love and submission. Exorcise from us the evil spirit of selfishness, of materialism, and grant to us the mind that was in Jesus, that as we seek to keep this day to his glory in our families, in our hearts, in our church, in our community, our witness might influence others and glorify thee. With grateful hearts, we lift these petitions to thee in Jesus' name. Amen.